Dear brethren, it's good to be with you. Talk about the things that we dearly love, the things that are near to our hearts, the things that are pleasing to our Heavenly Father. Since our dear brother Paul brought to our attention the door, and so wonderfully proven that the door is not yet closed, I agree with him. And two friends, there seems to be quite a misunderstanding, not merely in regards to the door, but to his parousia also. So I thought that would make a good subject for us, since friends are inquiring about it considerable. The thought of the second coming of Christ has been a great mistake. All of Babylon is still constantly preaching the second coming of Christ, that he's still coming, and it may be millions of years before he comes. But this is going to take them all as a snare that dwell upon the face of the earth. Let us get a clear understanding of this morning, and I'm sure it will be an added blessing to us in all your witness work and when you're talking to others. Old spiritual leaders since the Dark Ages have preached the second coming of Christ and has constantly continued to preach it. And it's a good subject, but they should explain some of the meaning of these words. Matthew 25:31, we read, when the Son of Man shall come in all his glory, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and his holy messengers shall be with him, and then he shall gather all nations before him, and so on. You've read it many times, perhaps. A wonderful setting, friends, but if we follow the teachings of Jesus in his great prophecies, Jesus was the greatest of all prophets. And his prophecies are found in Matthew 24, Luke 21, and Mark 13. And they'll all agree with what we're going to talk about this morning. Jesus said in Matthew 24:1-4, the disciples came, gathered around him, and no doubt they desired to ask him some questions, and they did. They heard him often speaking about his return. Remember, he told them that he'd go into a far country as a young, rich nobleman and receive a kingdom unto himself and return. This matter came up often, and they wanted to know. And so they said to the Lord Jesus, Master, what shall be the sign? Oh, just give us one sign, S-I-G-N, one will be enough. What shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? For now, friends, all we need to do is to look up these words and we'll get a better understanding of all this. The word coming never should appear at all, friends. They didn't say that. They wanted to know, and if they just had one sign, and the very fact they asked for a sign is positive proof they didn't expect him to come in the flesh. Otherwise, they wouldn't ask for a sign, would they? But they ask, what shall be the sign of thy parousia? The Greek word parousia is not coming. Don't mean coming in the morning, it means potatoes. What shall be the sign of thy parousia, or the English word presence? Ask the brethren, ask Brother Stamulus, if he comes sometime, a Greek scholar, who interprets the dawn in the Greek language. He used to interpret the watchtower in Brother Russell's day in the Greek language. You know, he'll tell you the word parousia, that it means present, invisible but present. What shall be the sign of thy presence? Just one sign would be enough. And the end of the world? No. The end of the aeon, or age. Now think of what a load that takes from our minds. What shall be the sign of thy parousia, presence, and the end of the age? But did Jesus answer? Yes, he answered. I remember one day I was riding on the train, and I was going over some of this in my mind. And I wondered, well, what did Jesus say? What are the first words he said? Well, I had to reach over and take my Bible out of my briefcase and turn to Matthew 24 and read it. And what do you think Jesus said after he looked at them? Hesitated a little while. You know what Jesus said? See that no man deceive you. He knew. When he looked down the corridor of time at the Hillman family, that all of Christendom would be deceived on this thing. And even some that call themselves students of the Bible are deceived on it today. See that no man or woman deceive you. That's a good answer. Then he begins to tell all about the signs and the times of things that will take place down here at the end of the age. And when you read this, friends, the 24th chapter of Matthew, you'll read many of them. I'm only going to mention one now, which is so vividly being fulfilled in our very day. This is a positive proof of the parousia, or the presence of the Lord. Jesus said in Matthew 24:37, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall, that's positive, shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. For when I am present, my parousia, this will take place. The people will be eating, and drinking, and planting, and building, and giving in marriage. But they're not watching. They won't be watching. Just think of what's taking place in this old terra firma. Never, friends, anything like it. Eating and drinking. It's all after 10 o'clock at night, they tell us, and I believe it's right. Building, there never was such building program in all history. His parousia. Never was such giving in marriage, in and out, divorces, in and out. Never anything like it in all history. His parousia. Are the people watching? No. They're watching Putnik now. But what should they watch? The sure word of prophecy, Peter said. The Bible. The earth is God given to the children of men, not the moon and the sun and the stars. Don't belong to them. They better keep their hands off. But you see, that's just the one prophecy. Now, then Jesus added, as it was in the days of Noah, yes, and he added, as it was in the days of Lot. They were too eating and drinking and planting and building and giving in marriage. But Jesus added, when iniquity was full, corruption full up, then the fire came from heaven and Armageddon will come. Well, hasn't corruption filled up yet? No, it's filling up every day. A little more every day, a little more. But when it's full, friends, look out. You see it? How near it is? This would all take place in his parousia, his presence. In 1 Thessalonians 4:5, we read, when they cry peace and safety, security, and they're crying that all the time, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, how? As travail upon a woman with child. But they shall not escape. Now listen. But ye brethren, are we brethren? Yes. Brethren in Christ? Yes. Brethren will not be in darkness, but that day should overtake us as a thief in the night. Why? You're children of the light. We know all about his parousia. We know that he's present. We know these things will take place. And it will come as travail upon a woman with child. One birth pang. Does that bring the birth of the kingdom? No. Cessation and another birth pang. That's right. We have all reasons to believe that the first terrible birth pang came in 1914. And we believe there's going to be one more great, great, great pang. Come upon the human family. And perhaps that'll be the last one, and that'll be the birth of the kingdom. Once. That's right. And this takes place in his parousia, not after Armageddon. Don't you believe it? Now let us turn to 2 Peter. We'll get into this a little more as we go along. And I'm sure, friends, it'll be a real blessing to all of us this morning to go over this again. Have it in our minds established. The 10th verse, 2 Peter, 3rd chapter. But the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. What comes as a thief in the night? A day. As a thief in the night. What day could that be? Well, that's the Lord's day. Well, when will the Lord's day take place? Well, the Lord's day is the last day, isn't it? Well, how long is that day? 1,000 years. Well, when the Lord's day appears, and when it would come, wouldn't the Lord be present? It's his day. Of course he'd be there. He'd be present. Well, at the first advent of the Lord, he was present with a sharp sickle in his hand, but he was visibly present as the chief reaper, wasn't he? And at the second advent, he would be present again with a sickle in his hand as the chief reaper, but invisible to man. Jesus told us that. Jesus said, yet a little while and the world seeth me no more. The world will never see Jesus. How could they? No man can see God and live. And Jesus is the express image of the Father's person. Jesus sitteth at the right hand of the Father. Jesus possesses the same nature as the Father. Well, if any man could see Jesus, they could also see God then, couldn't they? But no man can see God and live. That's why Jesus said, a little while in the world seeth me no more. But ye shall see me. Oh, my bride. They shall see him and be with him and share his glory and sit upon the throne with Christ. The world of mankind will never see Christ. I'm sure we see that, friends. Therefore, Peter said, the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night, and it has come. It's been here since 1874. We're living in the 7,000-year day. And the Lord will be present for a whole 1,000 years. Just as sure as you sit in that seat. They're in his parousia. And what would take place? The heavens shall pass away with a great noise, all of the ruling powers. Isn't it getting noisier and noisier and noisier? They're making things that are real noisy nowadays. Yes, friends, the ecclesiastical heavens, the ruling powers, they shall pass away with a great noise. And the elements, the beggarly elements that comprise this world, getting hotter, hotter, hotter. Labor, capital, about 10 different factions in Italy, and most of them are worse than communists. All radical, getting worse constantly. They're melting with fervent heat. You say, well, I see that. Of course that's taking place right now. And still you deny the presence of the Lord? Don't do it. That's when it would take place, in his parousia. And listen to what Peter said. Did Peter think the door would be closed when this would take place? No, bless your heart, no. Here's what Peter said. Brethren, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? That would have never been put in the Bible. Never been put in the Bible unless the Lord knew that some of the bride class would be here. That scripture is for you and for me, while all this turmoil and distress and perplexity is in the earth. what persons that we ought to be. In all holy conversation, what are we talking about? What are we saying? Our conversation should be of the gospel and from above, Paul said. And godliness, godlikeness, love and action. Peter's telling us that while we're still here, waiting for deliverance. And the elements are melting with fervent heat. Therefore, Peter said again, ye therefore, beloved. Now he addresses you and me as beloved. Seeing ye know these things, are we doubtful? About the parousy of the Lord? About the door being closed? No. Seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also being led away with error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. And as our dear brother Poe said this morning, one here and one there, fall away. And that then means an empty seat. And so the Lord asked someone else to take that seat. You still sing that beautiful hymn, I am the door, come in, and leave without all fear and sin. The night is dark, the storm is wild. Oh, come within, thou weary child. There's an empty seat taken. That's how we come in. Somebody gave up their seat. Don't you give up yours. Beware. But grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That would have never been in the Bible, friends, if it was all over with and the door was closed. Would it? And there's many more like that. Too many to go into this morning. Read that chapter over once more. And I'm sure it'll strengthen your heart. We desire to be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. Now I want to call to mind one that you all know so well. I believe you could all quote it. Jesus said in John 14 and 1, looked at his disciples, he said, you believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house there's many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. But I go to prepare a place for you. Not for the world, but I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. How beautiful. It's always used at the funeral, but never explained. Tickles the ears of the people, they can write out a big check. But it's never explained, is it? In my Father's house, what is the Father's house? The Father's house is the universe. And in that universe there are many, many mansions. Remember Jesus said, what man of you would have 100 sheep would leave the 99? 100 sheep, 100 planes. Of beings, 100 mansions. But what man of you would leave the 99 and come to seek and to save the one sheep that was lost, Father Adam? And the human mansion? Wasn't that a mansion, paradise? Oh, wouldn't it be grand when the human family inherit that mansion? The whole earth is going to be like the Garden of Eden. That's the human mansion. Lost. Lost. Jesus left all that to come down to seek and to save that which was lost. And the sheep that was lost. That's Father Adam. The human mansion, didn't he? That's right. But he said to you and to me, I go to prepare a place for you. What is that? That's God's new creation. That's his masterpiece. The royal Adam. Just think. 144,001 sitting upon the throne with God. Perhaps some angel that would have been created later on would say to the other angels, that's the Father. That's his Son, Christ. But who are they? I expect they all have crowns. They're all kings. I expect they too are created from other angels. Oh, no, no. No, no, they were not created from other angels. We'll have to tell you about that. Now you come with me and look way down there in the universe. You see that little dark spot there? Well, that's the earth. And they all came from the earth. They did? Well, how could that be? Well, you see, under the permission of evil, God created his masterpiece. And what would that angel have to do? He'd have to give a chat talk, wouldn't he? Tell all about it. And that's what we do right along, tell each other about these things. That's what the Lord did. Prepare a place. One sister said to me after the meeting, is heaven a condition? Oh, yes, I said, but more than that. And then I quoted this. Oh, she said, isn't that beautiful? He's preparing a place for us. Now, isn't this a place? To whomsoever overcometh, will I grant to sit with me upon my throne, even as I have overcome and sit down with my Father in his throne. To sit upon a throne, isn't that a place? That's for you. That's for me. A place. But I will come again and receive you unto myself, one by one, unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. Now let us turn to a scripture to prove this. And I think, friends, you like this very much. We're going to go over this slowly. 1 Thessalonians 4, 14, including the 18th verse. Here's a beautiful setting to prove our subject this morning. And as Lord's people, we'd ought to go over this often, friends. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, do we believe that? Yes, be careful. I thought I believed it one time, but I didn't, because I believed Jesus was God, and God couldn't die, and so the whole thing was just a supposition. Jesus was just incarnate, and you know that's all wrong, that's false. Merely a supposition, that's all that would be, and that's what they're teaching today. That Father Adam was merely a supposition, and Jesus and the birth of Jesus was merely a supposition. It was God incarnate, but that's a lie. The Bible don't teach that. Now let me ask you, do we believe this? For if we believed, Paul said, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, we do. And he died and he rose again from the dead. Well then, if he rose again and he was dead, I asked a minister on the train one day, just before Easter Sunday morning. He was preparing an Easter talk. I said to him, I'd like to ask you a question. You're preparing a talk for Easter. Oh, yes, Christ is risen indeed, he said. I said, I believe that. But I said, who rose him from the dead? Who called him from the dead? Oh, and he looked down at the floor. We were riding along on the train. And he didn't answer for a while. And finally, he just kind of whispered and he said, oh, I think he raised himself. Well, that's all he'd have, wouldn't it? What else would he have? If Jesus was God, don't you see? But you know, the Bible tells in the first chapter of Ephesians, beginning about the 19th verse, that it wrought God's mighty power to raise Jesus from the dead. Better, isn't it? We believe that. Then also, which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. All mankind sleep in Jesus, don't they? Jesus died for all. Even the grace of God tasted death for every man. And the Lord's going to bring them all back, isn't he? That's right. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, what did Jesus say? Lazarus sleepeth. And he plainly said, Lazarus is dead, but I go to awake him. Isn't that plain English? Strange people can't see that. He would awake him from the sleep of death. So all mankind will be raised to and come forth from the sleep of death. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. By the word of the Lord. Always the word of the Lord, which is the sword of the Spirit. The word of the Lord. that which we are alive. We're down here yet, aren't we? There's some of the church here yet. That's right. And remain unto the parousia, mistranslated coming, unto the parousia presence of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. All the disciples and the apostles were asleep, but the time would come at his parousia, when the Lord would return, the first ones that would return, he would call forth from the dead those that sleep in Christ. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Who is this Lord that will send from heaven with a shout? Michael. Michael, the great prince. Who's the greatest prince in the universe? Prince Michael. Who's Prince Michael? Jesus. Our Savior. The Lord. And he descends from heaven. And in connection with the descension of the Lord, there'd be a great shout, a proclamation. With the voice of the archangel. Oh, there it is, the archangel. And there was only one archangel. Archangels always singular, not plural. Jesus was that archangel. Yes, and he's returned. He's present, friends. How do we know? Because with a shout, the voice of an archangel, and with a trump of God. What is the trump of God? The last trump. The seventh trump. And that seventh trumpet has been blowing since the Lord returned his parousia. And it'll blow louder and louder and louder through the entire 1,000 years. What is it, the trump of God, the proclamation? Justice, freedom, and liberty for the people. That's why the people in Africa and Asia and all over are clamoring for freedom and liberty, because the seventh trump is sounding. Because we live in the parousia of our Lord. That's why. That's why we're having all this trouble in the earth, friends, because the time is at hand. One birth pang after another. And now look what he said. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the trump of God, then the dead in Christ, his bride class, they would rise first. From 1874 on, they would rise first. And I believe they have risen. I believe they were the Lord. Then we, which are alive, we're alive down here having a convention. Still brethren on this side of the veil, those that have closed the door, that closed themselves out of the bride class. And who would say the door was closed? The foolish virgin. They're the ones that said the door is closed. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord, where? In the air. Friends, if the Lord wasn't in the air, he couldn't meet any of us in the air, but he's in the air. He's come down. He's entered the strong man's house. Satan the devil is the prince of the powers of the air, Ephesians 2:2. The Lord's going to take over, isn't he? Finally, he'll be bound that he shall deceive the nations no more. Where is the Lord? In the air, present. We can't see him. I was mentioning some of this in San Francisco at a meeting. A sister there that used to live in Detroit, and I knew her quite well at that time. At the meeting, she said, "You do believe in the presence of the Lord?" "Yes," I said, "I believe it, and I can prove it." "Oh," she said, "I never see him. Where is he? I never see him." Just belittle the whole thing. I said, "Sister, you never will see him of that which you believe." She won't. How could she be of the bride class? Never will see him. Well, she said, "Why? I said, "Sister, I want to ask you a question. I've been the truth a long time. I've been in your home when you lived in Detroit." I said, "Don't you believe that there is an adversary?" "Oh, yes." "A devil?" "Oh, yes." "Have you ever seen him?" She says, "No. Of course not." "Don't you think he's present?" "Hasn't he been present all the time? Satan's transformed himself as an angel of light. Therefore, be no strange thing of his ministers also transform themselves as ministers of righteousness. The earth filled with the devil's ministers." I said, "Beware. Beware, sister. Satan, you never saw him. The human family will never see the devil. And they'll never see Christ either. For a little while, Jesus said, in the world, seeth me no more. But ye shall see him." "Well, how can that be?" "Well, now let us get this, friends. There's only one way to see God and see Christ. There's only one way to receive that divine nature. And how's that? By putting your little all on that altar of sacrifice with Christ. If we suffer with him, we shall be glorified together. If we suffer with him on the same altar, as brother said this morning, suffer for righteousness, not aches and pains and lumbago and toothache. That isn't it. If we suffer for righteousness with him, we shall see him as he is and share his glory." Right? Now, can you see, friends, how the humanity, the human nature, will have to go down into death, die daily, but the new creation, the new mind, see, will receive a divine body. And the only way you could have a change of nature is to lay it all upon the altar of sacrifice. Then the change of nature will come, and to be the divine nature, be with the Lord and see him as he is, and share his glory. And therefore this verse, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with him." Spiritual, divine, the same plane that Jesus is on. Dear brother said to me after a funeral one day, "Oh," he said, "you remember my dear mother." "Well," I said, "I think I do, brother." I knew this brother denied the presence of Christ. He told me that on a previous visit. And he said, "Oh, that was a good funeral discourse you gave." And he said, "Yes," he said, "mother's dead." I said, "Your mother was loyal, faithful." "Oh, yes," he said, "you knew that. She was loyal, faithful." I said, "You think she made her calling election sure?" "Oh, yes." "Then," I said, "if that's true, she's caught up in the air with the Lord, and she's with the Lord." "Yes," he said, "that's right." "But," I said, "brother, you deny that." And he looked at me, and the tears came in his eyes. "I never thought of that. How could she be caught up in the air with the Lord unless the Lord was in the air? Unless the Lord was present, she never could be caught up in the air with the Lord, could she? I will come again and receive you unto myself. All his dues, they should be mine, saith the Lord, in that day, today, when I make up my dues." Now, when one of the Lord's people passed beyond the veil, they're caught up in the air with the Lord. And listen to what Paul said. One reason for reading and studying this often: "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, brethren, comfort one another with these words." Oh, they're comforting words, aren't they? We should comfort one another with these words. You couldn't do it unless you talked about his parousia, could you? His presence. You see, if you deny the presence of the Lord, friends, sooner or later, the Lord will ask someone else to take your seat. Otherwise, We couldn't be of that class. There's something peculiar in the book of Revelation about this. You know, friend, you read about the seven churches in the book of Revelation. The first, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh. Read them again. You read all the six. And then come to the seventh. The seventh is the Laodicean period. And that's the period we're living in. And the Laodicean messenger is that faithful and wise servant. Well, what would happen in the seventh stage of the church? There it is written. In that wonderful seventh stage of the church, read it again. I will stand at the door and knock. Present. Parousia. Did he stand at the door of your heart and knock? Yes. Did you leave him in? Yes. Why? Because you believe in his parousia. Don't leave him out, because he did come in unto us and make his abode with us. During this period of time, see, it's a special arrangement for the Lord's people. And that's why Revelation 7, 3, 4, brother quoted that this morning about the sealing. Hold back the four winds until all of God's servants are sealed in their forehead. When will that take place? In his parousia, in his presence. Reread it. Get the reprints on it. Several of them my pastor wrote years ago. I'll tell you all about it. You and I have a special sealing, and that sealing is in the forehead. All Christians since Pentecost have had a sealing, a heart sealing of the Holy Spirit, which is the cream of Christian experience. But here, when he stands at the door and knock in his parousia, we'd have a special sealing in our forehead. What is it? There it is. It's the vision, sealed with a vision, an intellectual appreciation of God's plan. Right up here, there's where it is. And that'll be your protection. And our dear pastor goes so far and tells us to be a protection even against the fallen angels. It's your identification. They know we're sealed. Are we going to lose that sealing? No. Oh, how wonderful it is. He stands at the door and knock. If anyone here this morning that hasn't opened their door and their heart and ask the Lord to come in, do so, because, friends, the most remarkable time in all of the history of ages is the Laodicean period, the harvest of the gospel age. This period of time we call his parousia. And he's going to be present for 1,000 years, remember. His parousia. Multitudes, 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 Joel said in the second chapter of Joel, third chapter of Joel. Multitudes gathered in the valley of decision, and there will I sit round about. Presence, the presence of the Lord. What's going on today? He's gathered them all together. They call it the UN, but I think it's the United Nations, don't you? Got them all together, gathering them all together. There will I sit round about and judge all nations. That's the day we're living in, friends. And think of the second sound. Do you remember when we were the children, boyhood days and girlhood days, we memorized the second sound? And the Lord said he would sit in the heavens and he would laugh. He would have them in derision down here with the kings and the rulers and the judges of the earth. Are they in derision? Ah, friends, they're in derision today. They're getting a headache. All of the rulers. The Lord said he would laugh. I think he often laughs at them, don't you? Such foolish things that they do. That's right. But he said he would vex them in his sore displeasure. He's sorely displeased over all the things they're doing down here. He said he would speak to them in his wrath, making a difference what comes. 11 tornadoes in Texas this year already, 12. And all of their calamities, and think of what's taking place. The Lord would speak to them in his wrath. They go right on. Pay no attention. That's right. That's right. And you know, one brother said to me, well, that refers to God, don't refer to the presence of Christ. No, brother said, you're wrong, because right there, see it? God says, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill Zion. It's parousia. He's the one that speaks. Ah, you see, friends, let us read it right. A pastor told us all about these things. You know how beautiful they are. That scripture, you may want to know where it is. It's in John 14 to 19, where Jesus said, yet a little while in the world seeth me no more. Now, I want to call to mind that time is rapidly passing away. Just call to mind a few of the scriptures, not all of them. Oh, no, it'll take hours and hours. But this scripture I have in mind is when Jesus bowed his head in death. And the students of the Bible, you know, and I knew that there was a great temple. And Jesus said the temple would be destroyed. Not one stone left upon another. And A.D. 70 it came. There was a comet that hung right over the city of Jerusalem. Much as Sayer Dune, Josephus tells us, and that was the year when it was destroyed. But something happened when Jesus bowed his head in death. That great curtain, 60 feet long, 40 feet wide, 4 inches thick. You never saw one like it, did you? That curtain rent in twain and parted. Well, why? Because the glory of the Lord departed from the house of Israel. Now the Lord opened a new and a living way. That's how we come in. And that's positive proof that Jesus kept the law, fulfilled the law, and as a brother said this morning, nailed it to the cross. Now the Lord would open a new and a living way, footstep followers of Jesus. And would they be under a new covenant? No, under the sacrificial part of the Abrahamic covenant, the Sarah covenant. Sacrifice, sacrifice. I see. Isn't that wonderful, friends? Yes, that really is wonderful. Well, would the Old Testament tell us anything about the parousia of the Lord? Yes. Let us turn to the beautiful setting we have in the 90s. Seventh Psalm by the prophet David. Here it is. First to the fifth verses. Read it slowly and go over it and get the comments on it and you'll have a surprise. The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Ah, friend, the time has come for much rejoicing and much sadness also. You remember in the third chapter of Acts, in the 19th verse, after Peter had healed a man, people gathered around him. I could see Peter standing there. Can't you visualize? And Peter lifted up his hand and said, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. For the times of refreshing are they here. Times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Parousia. All these times of refreshing that's in the earth. Today, kingdom blessings, push button here and push button there, all come in his parousia. That takes place first. Finally, individual restitution will come because it's been spoken of at the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. But first, times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Now look at the one in the Old Testament. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitudes of the isles be glad thereof. But quickly, says, clouds and darkness around about him is parousia. I wonder if that's true. Yes. Men shall walk like blind men. The earth shall reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. They're doing it today. Why? Because of his parousia, his presence. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. A fire goeth before him. There's been much fire since 1914, and there'll still be more. And it'll burn up all his enemies. his lightnings, the flashes of light, because of his parousia, the illumination, the increase of knowledge. His lightnings enlighteneth the world. Boys 10 years old today know more than the professors of the universities. Put them on the $64,000 question, you can hear them. Why? Because we're in that enlightenment, in the parousia of the Lord. That's why, I believe. His lightnings enlighten the world. Isn't it strange? And they still walk in darkness, don't know it. No. They don't know it. The scientist said in Rochester, New York, when I was there, there's a great illumination, knowledge in the earth. Something taking place in the earth is strange, but we scientists don't know what it is. Too bad. They won't take the Bible, you see. They don't know what it is. Didn't Jesus pray to that end? Jesus' Father said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. Aren't you glad you're just one of those babes? His lightnings enlightened the earth. The earth saw and it trembled. Oh, they see that light. They don't know what it is, and they're trembling. All have a headache today. They're getting ready for the final overthrow of Satan's empire. And you and I can walk in the light even as God is in the light. And after we're walking in the light, are we going to deny the presence of the Lord? No, listen to this. The hills, the governments melt like wax, and they've been going since 1914. At the presence of the Lord. Old Testament. At the presence of the Lord of the whole earth, he's the king. He'll be the prince of peace of the whole earth, and he'll be present for 1,000 years. What a joy it brings to our heart. What a blessing, friends. What content to know. Are you having someone come around, whisper some nonsense in your ears, reading all these things that come along? Don't you believe it, friends? We have the truth. The Lord's given us the truth, and the Lord knew when he looked down the corridors of time. He said, see that no man deceive you, because he knew we'd have the truth. And after all, this is but a little flock. Fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It always was a little flock, and always will be a little flock. Isn't that true? Of course it's true. The hills, the governments melt like wax at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. Ah, my dearly beloved. All these scriptures and still more to follow. But we must close now because the time has expired. But I do hope that you received a blessing. These things, the parousia of our Lord. We'll never forget these things. Now we can talk about the four universal empires and all these things, but we haven't time to do it. You get your most holy faith out, probably have one, and then take that subject on the parousia of the Lord. And there it'll tell you, friends. And what does it mean to us? Now, something I want to explain, firstly. There's three phases to the second coming of Christ. Let us, as Bible students, the Lord's people, never forget that. That's why there's so much confusion. You see, forget about it. The first is this parousia presence, came 1874. Then finally comes this epiphania, epiphany. Bright shining. Then will come his apocalypse, when the glory of the Lord shall be revealed and all flesh shall see it together. And restitution for the individual of the human race will not come until the apocalypse. Why? Because then the bride will be with him. The bride. bride must be with him before restitution can come to the individual. Don't you see that? Of course we do. Now, since we know this, let us be careful not to become confused about when we talk about the presence of the Lord. He'll be present for 1,000 years, but there, these words have different meanings. And our pastor explained them all. We haven't time to go into that. But you get them for yourself. And it'll be an added blessing to you, friends, to know about them. Now may the Lord add his blessing. I hope you've all received the blessing. You know, I was going to talk on something different this morning, but the Lord always directs the brethren, I believe. How often I would plan, well, now see, I'm going over to Oklahoma City, or I'm going to Minneapolis, or way up north someplace. And I'll plan and a talk for that place. And when I get there, well, they've invited out so many listeners, and his friends come there. Well, maybe it'll line up fine. They'll have to put up the chart and give a chart talk. Lord, that is blessed. Thank you.